Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Zechariah. It's like I like giving you guys a challenge. You know, I had you guys in Micah for 2 weeks, and so now we're going to be in Zechariah. We're looking at some of these books we normally don't go to for preaching, and so make sure you guys know where your books of the Bible are, which I'm sure most of you do. Zechariah chapter 13, as we continue to look at the topic of forgiveness. And today we're going to look at the topic of the need to be cleaned up. And so whenever we need to get something out of the shed at the house, to bring in the house, we usually have to wipe it off. You know, the shed has concrete floors, and anytime concrete floors are involved, things get dirt and dust on them. And there's just no way around it. A few weeks ago, the table and chairs we had in the kitchen, one of the chairs had broken, like one of the screws had come out of it. And so if you sat on it, you kind of went sideways. And for some reason, that chair kept showing up where I sat. I don't know if there's anything nefarious going on or not, but I would move that chair, and then I'd come back. It was already back there. So I don't know if somebody's trying to tell me something or what. But anyway, so we had to go out to the shed, and I remember there was another table and chairs set out there. So we had to get it out, clean it up, and bring it in. It needed to be cleaned up before we could use it. Sometimes things get dirty and they just need cleaned up. The dirt and grime needs to be removed and the object needs to be cleansed. The same is true with us. There are times where you and I sin and sin makes us dirty. We need to repent of that sin, receive the forgiveness of God, and allow God to clean us up. He will remove all the dirt and grime that comes from sin. The people of Israel in the days of Zechariah needed a good cleanup. There were a lot of false prophets in the land. There were a lot of idols, and they just needed them cleaned up. That cleanup would come from God, who would deal with the people's sin, forgive them, clean up the land, and get rid of the dirt. We saw last week that God forgives our sins even though we did not earn it or deserve it. This week we will look at the truth that after God forgives us, He cleans us up. We need to be cleansed of our sins, and that is done by our great and awesome God. Zechariah chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, "In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. It shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who begot him will say to him, 'You shall not live because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord.' And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall be in that day that every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. They will not wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive, but he will say, 'I'm no prophet, I'm a farmer. For a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth.' And one will say to him, 'What are those wounds between your arms?' Then he will answer, 'Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.'" Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray that you would help us to see the beauty that comes from the prophecy of Zechariah and how that applies to our life and our world today. Lord, I pray that you would just move as only you can. I pray that I would sit down and that you would stand up. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just take over completely. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see in our text is we see sin forgiven and cleansed. It says, "In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness." If we read chapter 12 of Zechariah, we would see that the people felt sorry for their sin and they had repented. in verse 10 of Zechariah, it says, I will pour out on the kinship of David and the population of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, so that they will look to me, the one they have pierced. They will lament for him as one laments for an only son, and there will be a bitter cry for him like the bitter cry for a firstborn. And so we see that in Zechariah chapter 10, the people have repented of their sin. Zechariah is what we know as a post-exilic book, which means that it dealt with after the exile. The people have come back into the promised land. Some of the people have been released from Babylonian captivity. They have come back into the promised land. And Zechariah is telling about how they lamented and mourned. They were sad because of their sin. It was their sin that led them into captivity. And so as they come back to the land, they are broken because of their sin. And we see that God forgives them as they repent, and then he cleans them up. And we see that from this text that a fountain is going to be opened. And it would be a fountain for the house of David. That is the line of the kings to clean them up. So God's going to come in and clean up the line of the kingship of David. It also says that it's going to be for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And so the rest of the Jews are going to be cleansed by God as well. So this fountain is going to be opened. And the purpose of this fountain is to clean the kingship and the people, to set them, to cleanse them from their sins that they have committed. One commentary states, William Cowper based his hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood," on Zechariah 13:1. "For it's the sacrifice of Christ that atones for sin. The Jews could cleanse their external ceremonial uncleanliness by washing in water, but for internal cleansing, the sinful heart of men and women can be cleansed only by the blood of the Savior." And so we see hearts and land being cleansed by God as the people are sorry for what they had done and they cry out to God for forgiveness. There was a need for the people to be cleansed from their sin. Their sin is what caused all this to happen. Their sin had not just affected them, but it affected the community and it affected even the land. Even the land was suffering because of the people's sin. God would send them away to hold them accountable for their sin, but that would not be the end. He would forgive them, he would clean them up, and he would bring them back. Even though the people had come back into the land after their sin, there would still be those that did not follow after God. And so Zechariah also helps us to see that what we see taking place in here, where all the false prophets are removed, all the idols are removed, and the land is completely and totally cleansed. Not only does this give us a little bit of a picture of what is happening in Zechariah's day, but it helps us to see our future when Jesus Christ returns. Because a day is coming when all forms of evil will be removed from this world. We can say without any doubt that there is evil in our world. We can say without a doubt that there is evil all around us. It was idolatry and false prophets that led to the people going into exile. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the people worshiping false idols and listening to false prophets. In the New Testament, we see that both still existed. A lot of your New Testament letters were written in opposition of false prophets and false beliefs and people that were worshiping idols. From this text, we can know that there will be a day when there will be no idols or false prophets. The hearts of God's people will be united under King Jesus, and the land will be cleansed from all evil. It is the fountain of the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all our sin. The only way that you and I can be cleansed from our sin is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our sins. He gave his life so that you and I can be free. And as we look at the passage, as we look at what's happening here in Zechariah, We need to understand that God forgave his people and he cleaned them up. And as we think about that, God is still the same today as he was back then. So God still forgives his people and God still cleans us up. Just as the people in Zechariah's day needed a good cleanup, so do we need a good cleanup in our world. In our world today, the people of God continue to sin against God. It's not just the lost people that sin against God. It's not just the lost people who do bad things. It's not just the lost people that do wicked things and evil things that stand against the Word of God. It is people that profess faith in Jesus Christ. There are those that profess faith in Jesus Christ that do not hold to what the Bible standard says. How many churches have compromised their stance on the Word of God for bigger crowds and more popularity? Amen. How many churches have said that what the Bible clearly says is wrong is okay? We still see these problems in our world today. How many people proclaim the name of Jesus, yet they continue to live their lives like the rest of the world? There are some people that say they're Christians, but you never see them act like Christians. You never see them. They may look like a Christian on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, you would never know they were a Christian.
Amen.
And we see that in our world today. In our world, people's hearts need cleaned. The land needs cleaned up. And for that to happen, the people of God need to repent. You know, often we say that, well, the world needs to get its act together. No. The people of God need to get their act together. Zechariah is talking to the people of God. They're the ones. Israel was the people of God. They were the ones that were to follow after God. But instead of following after God, they were following after false idols. They were following after other things. They were not doing what God had called them to do. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." This is a powerful passage where the writer of Chronicles says, if my people, if the people of God will humble themselves, our world needs a good cleanup. And for that to happen, the people of God need to hit their knees before God and seek forgiveness for our sins. We need a good old-fashioned repentance. What our world needs, what our churches needs, is a good old-fashioned tent revival. We need to know that there is nothing that we can do in order to clean up our sin. We can't do it, no matter how hard we try. Praise be to God that he comes along and cleans us up. He would clean up the land. He would clean up his people. He would send Jesus to clean up the world and help us have a way out of sin. When God forgives his people, he also cleans them up. So the first thing that we see is we see God coming along and cleaning up the land. Now, as he cleaned up the land, there were two things that he would do. He would remove idols and he would remove false prophets. In verse 2, we see the removal of idols. "It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land." And so to cut off the names, in other words, he's saying, I'm going to get rid of these idols, that people aren't even going to remember them anymore. The idols needed to go. In the process of cleaning up the land, God needed to remove the idols from the land. Again, it was the worship of idols of the nations that led to the people going into exile. Instead of worshiping God that brought them out of Egypt, instead of following after God who had done everything for them and given everything, they were following the gods of other nations, and that is what led to their exile. And there were a lot of idols the people looked to. And as long as there are idols around, the people were going to look at those idols. It's kind of like sweets in the house. If there are sweets in the house, I'm going to eat them. If they're not in the house, I can't eat them. If there's idols in the land, the people are probably going to follow after them. But if the idols are removed, they can't follow after what's not there. The people needed to get rid of their idols so there would be no temptation for them to turn to God. If you remember the history of the Old Testament, it had gotten so bad that if you remember, there was a time when Moses was leading the people, that the people grumbled against God. And so God sent snakes into camp. When they cried out to God for help, Moses was told to make a bronze serpent and stick it on a pole, and that when the people looked at it, they would be healed. Well, eventually you'll read that at some point in time, instead of worshiping God, they started worshiping that bronze serpent. That just helps us to see how the people turned against God with their idols. When God comes in, he doesn't just move things around. He gets rid of it. Now, most of us have that one drawer or closet that everything goes in when we clean our house or when we clean things up. You know, we got what we call our drunk drawer or our junk closet or whatever it is. We've got this one room or something where everything goes. The rest of the house looks perfect. And so what we have a tendency to do when we clean up is we move one thing from one place and then put it somewhere else. So now this area is clean, but over here it's now got more stuff. When God cleans up, he gets rid of it. When God cleans up, this is how God cleans up. He comes along, he puts the stuff in a trash bag, throws the trash bag in the compactor, and pushes the button that smooshes the stuff. That's how God cleans up. When God comes in and God cleanses us and God cleans up, he gets rid of it. And so what needed to happen in the land is they needed to get rid of their idols. They needed to get rid of the false prophets. The people needed to get rid of their idols from the land. They did not need to move them around, put them away, or even give them away. They needed to get rid of them. And you know what? The same is still true today. The people of God need to get rid of their idols. Now, we sit here today and we're like, there is no way I would ever worship a little wood or stone figurine. That's just silly. How many people worship a little leather oval, also called a pigskin or a football? Now, I've been in church before where we would have something going on, and not here, praise the Lord, and someone's like, I was like, hey, you know, let's have some fellowship. Can't, Clemson game's coming on. I got to go home and watch it. I can't hang out at church. I've been at church where if there was a race on, you wouldn't see the person that Sunday. Now, any other Sunday when there's no race, they'd be there. You know, we say that we don't have idols in our lives, but an idol is anything that we put above God. It doesn't have to be a carved image. An idol can be our family. Again, family's not a bad thing, but if we put that family above God, if our family is more important to us than God, then our family has become an idol. It drives me crazy. Why weren't you at church? Oh, my kid didn't want to come. What? Yeah, we at times we put our families above God. We can put our job above God. We can put sports above God. We can put money above God. Social media can be put above God. I love this. People are like, I don't have time to read my Bible. Well, you sure were on Facebook for 3 hours yesterday seeing what's going on in the world? Well, you mean you don't have time to read your Bible? TV, ETC. Here's the thing. As we will always find time and money to invest in what's important to us. I can't afford to tithe 10%, but I can buy season tickets to my favorite football team. I can't afford to give my 10% to God, but you better believe I have the latest and newest iPhone or fishing pole or boat. We always find time and money for what's important to us. We have idols in our lives, and there are a whole lot of idols in our world, and sometimes we even see them in the church. Sometimes an idol can even be in the church. Sometimes we can care more about the sanctuary than we can the hearts of the people sitting in here. Don't you dare bring food or drink into the sanctuary. Don't you dare get the carpet dirty. Don't you dare wear a hat in the sanctuary because this place is holy. No, no, no. We holy. Doesn't matter if we're in here, back there, or out there. We holy. You know, we have a tendency to idolize our things. The analogy that I always like to use is, how many of you would honestly be mad if you came to church one Sunday and the pulpit was no more? If we didn't have a pulpit anymore, we just had a stand. There'd probably be some people asking for my job, because for some people, the pulpit has become an idol. It has become more important than the Word of God. Does it matter if there's a pulpit if the Word of God's still being preached? Does it matter if there's a big piece of wood right here if the Word of God is still being preached and taught the way it's supposed to be? And so if we're not careful, we can have idols in our lives. Don't you dare change the bulletin. It's like the Ten Commandments. It is written in the hand of God. No, it's not. Oh, and the big one. You want to know what the biggest sign of an idol in a church is? We've never done it that way before. That is the sign of an idol. We have never done it that way before. Or we've always done it this way. And again, a lot of these things, they're not bad. But when we put them above God and what He wants to do, they become bad. When the color of our carpet becomes more important than the souls of lost people, we've got a problem. When our comforts and us getting what we want and what we think is more important than lost people dying and going to hell, then we've got a problem. And sadly, we see this all across America, because again, we see all these churches that are conforming to the world and to the culture. They are not preaching and teaching the truth. They are not standing on the Word of God. They are not following after what the Bible says. And the time had come for the people to get rid of their idols. And the time has come for the people of God in our world today to get rid of our idols. The idols had to go. The false prophets had to go, so that only truth would remain. And so Zechariah says, God's going to come in. He's going to cleanse you up. He's going to get rid of the idols, and He's going to get rid of the false prophets. Verse 3, it shall come at the end of verse 2, I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. It shall come to pass that anyone who still prophesies, then his father and mother who begot him will say, you shall not live, because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. Wow. During the time of the people of Israel, there was a time that they kind of put false prophets up on a pedestal. There are a lot of false prophets among the people, just as there are today. And what we see taking place here in Zechariah is we see a reverse. Because for a while, the people allowed the false prophets to live, followed after them, and killed the true ones. When you look through the prophets, you will see that a lot of them were killed for standing for God. Here, we see that the false prophets are the ones that will be dealt with for their sin and their lies in the name of God. False prophets were once proud, now they're going to hide. In our world today, false teachers are praised and offered and often honored, while the men of God are often shunned. How many false prophets in our world today do we see praised? When people take a stand for something that is against the Word of God, they are often praised. They are often considered a hero. They're often considered, they're paving the way for our future. No, they're destroying our country by disobeying the Word of God while we sit back and do nothing about it. Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah, you can. Tuesday, you go to the poll and you vote not based on your party lines, but based on what the Bible has to say. I don't care what their economic plan is. If a candidate is for abortion and for homosexuality, you as a Christian have no business voting for them. Because when you vote for them, you are saying, I think it's okay to kill innocent babies. I don't care what your party line is. Vote based on what the Bible says. And if Christians would step up, put away our idols, put away all these false prophets, and start doing what the Bible says, we'd see a whole lot of difference in our world today. The time would be reversed. Not only would God get rid of the idols, but He would get rid of the false prophets. It's safe to say there are a whole lot of false prophets in our world, and we need to be very careful that we do not let them lead us down the wrong path. When we speak for the Lord, we need to make sure that we speak the truth. It is dangerous to say, well, the Lord told me this, if he didn't. And there's a lot of people out there that said, the Lord said this. No, he didn't. That goes completely against the word of God. You can't get up here and say, the Lord told you this, and then it goes completely against the word of God. Or one of my favorites is, well, God told me to run for office. And then you run for office and you do underhanded, sneaky things? And it don't work that way. And so we need to deal with those that tell lies. And there's only one way. The only way that you and I can know when they're telling the lies is if we know the truth. You know, I've often heard that how the Secret Service knows counterfeit bills is because they study the real thing. They know every nook and cranny. They know every detail of a real bill. So if you and I want to know false prophets, we need to understand what the Word of God says. We need to know the truth so that we will not be led astray. And the best way that you and I can avoid falling prey to false prophets is to know the Word of God. Don't believe everything that you hear. Test it to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. That's why I always challenge you guys. Test what I say to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Don't believe it just because I said it. Believe it because it lines up with the Word of God. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I would never purposely steer you wrong. But I am human. And as human, I can make mistakes. As a human, I don't know everything about the Bible. As a human, I'm going to get it wrong sometimes. And so it's important that we as the people of God know the real thing, so that we know when the wrong thing shows up. And when it does not line up with the Word. And so, test what I say. Now, if what I'm saying does line up with the Word of God, don't get mad when it upsets you. That's the Bible speaking and not me. Now, if I'm the one saying it, that's a whole different story. And so as we think about this, what our hearts need, what our churches need, what our world needs is God to come in, clean house, and move in. We need a move of God to happen in our world today. And what the people of Israel needed in the days of Zechariah is they needed to repent. They needed God to forgive their sins. They needed God to come along and clean them up. They needed their idols removed and their false prophets moved. And like I like to say, there ain't nothing new under the moon, because the same thing that we see happen in Zechariah is the same thing that we see in our world today. We need God to come along. We need to repent of our sins. We need to cry out to God, receive His forgiveness, let Him clean up, let Him remove the false idols, let Him remove the false prophets, and let Him move into our hearts. If we don't let Him move in the house, it's not going to stay long, for we will dirty it up fast. I see this happen quite a bit with Ella. You know, she'll quit playing and we'll get one room clean. We'll get the room cleaned up and we'll turn around. And by the time we turn back around, I don't understand how kids get that many toys out that fast. But if we don't let God move in, that's what's going to happen to us too. It's just going to be dirty. It's like the parable of the guy that is healed from the demon. Says the demon goes away, comes back, finds it all neat and clean, and so he goes and gets 10 more worse than him, and they come and move in, so the place is worse. Now, the reason this happened is because, yeah, he allowed God to remove the demon, but he didn't replace his heart with God. You see, if we want real change, then we got to let God move in. We got to let God take over. We got to let God search our hearts and get rid of anything that's not supposed to be there. So what is God saying to us today? Maybe we're here today and we need a good cleanup. Maybe we just need God to come in and clean off the dirt and the grime and get us where we need to be. Maybe we're here today and we need our idols removed. Maybe there's some things that we're putting above God. I'll never forget what my missions professor said to me at North Greenville University. He said, "Show me your church's checkbook and I'll show you what's important to them." Same applies to us as individuals. Show me your checkbook and I'll show you what's important to you. How we spend our time, how we spend our money shows what's important to us. Do we have idols in our life? Maybe we're here tonight and here today and we need to stop listening to false prophets. And this could be in a couple different ways. Maybe we need to stop listening to the false prophets that say the ways of the world are okay. Maybe we need to stop listening to false prophets that it says this is okay and that's okay and we just need to love everybody and let everybody love who they want to love and do what they want to do. That's not the Bible. Maybe we're here and we need to stop listening to that. Maybe we're here today and we need to stop listening to the false prophets that tell us we're not good enough. That we don't matter. Because I'm telling you right now, that's a lie straight from Satan too. Because you matter so much that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You matter so much that God sent His Son to take your place. So don't let false prophets tell you you're not good enough. Don't let false prophets tell you you don't matter. And don't let false prophets tell you lies about the Bible and the Word of God. God loves us, God forgives us, and God cleans us up. The question is, will we let God clean us up today? I want to challenge us this morning as we close to pray the prayer of David in Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, at the end, David says, "Search me, O God, and try me. Test my thoughts and know my heart. And if there is any wicked way in me, get rid of it." That needs to be our prayer this morning. God, search our hearts. Search our souls. If there's anything in us that's not supposed to be there, remove it. The time has come for the people of God to repent, seek God's forgiveness, and be cleaned up. Because there are a lot of idols and there are a lot of false prophets. And we need to get rid of them. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your incredible grace, love, and mercy. And pray that you would just speak to our hearts today. And Lord, I do pray that you would search our hearts. I pray that you'd search my heart. Lord, if there's any idols that I have in my life, if there's anything that I'm putting above you, I ask that you would show that to me and help me to get rid of those. Lord, help me not to listen to false prophets or even to listen to my own wants or desires, but to hear and to heed the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you would just encourage us today to show us that we have been cleansed from our sins, that you have come along and that you have cleaned us up. And oh, the beauty that comes from that, and that you have moved in, that you live in us. I pray that you'd also challenge us and help us to see that if we're not careful, we can have idols in our lives and we can allow false prophets to get the best of us. Lord, I pray that you would just move as only you can, that you would speak to our hearts as only you can. And I pray that you'd forgive us. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive our sins that we've committed against you as individuals, as a church. And I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us and forgive us by the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our sins. We thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.